All right, we're with the Lieutenant Governor and gave a speech today here at the East Meets West North Dakota Cowboy Hall of Fame banquet. Theodore Roosevelt Library, there's a lot of people very excited about this, and you talked a little bit about some of the possibilities with the once it's up and running with the Cowboy Hall of Fame and the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library. Tell us about that.
Well, it's very exciting to think about the fact that the locations they're looking at would be very close in proximity to the Hall of Fame. Not only that, but walking in directly on street access to where the Rough Rider Hotel is at. That's the goal. And the federal government is on par with that as well. And there might be some challenges with trading land back and forth, etc. But that's the direction they're looking at, is how best to utilize the entrance to the park and, you know, the adjoining areas of Medora. There's a couple other ideas of what might be potential sites, but that's kind of the main that's the main goal right now. It'd be great to be connected, walkable from, you know, back and forth between these places are already in place.
And is one of those areas, like say the entrance to Theodore Roosevelt National Park, it would be just an automatic or not?
The concept would be you'd still have an entrance to the park and then an entrance into the library and museum area, but it would be
close in proximity.
Close in proximity.
Okay. Now, it was a little controversial during the legislature, but it seems to have a support. Is the funding mechanism, is it going to work?
Yeah, the funding's already started, of course, with the $15 million that was appropriated to go into cash for the operating account. That's already started. The governor can, as soon as the rest of the $100 million is certified by the governor that the, or not by the governor, but the, actually it is, the legislation says the governor shall, you know, partner with the nonprofit organization that would be building Presidential Library. And so as soon as that is certified that the $100 million is spoken for, then the $50 million is in place for the operation and maintenance fund endowment. And so then you people worry about how do you take care of something like this. Well, that $50 million the legislature put in place for appropriation is to have the earnings from that come off as like an endowment funding. The earnings are used for maintenance of the facility.
On an annual basis?
Yeah, on an annual basis, or whenever they would be needing it, you know, quarterly, annually, biannually, whatever. I mean, the state government is set up on a biennium basis, but they actually left the flexibility to deal with the nonprofit entity that were to be running the facility. So the $50 million the legislature put in place is not for bricks and mortar. It's purely for O&M, and the $100 million would then be for the exhibits, for the building itself, for the site work, and that's where the private donation has to come into place. And that's something that you know there was talk during the session about, you know, the different entities that are interested in it, and those are ongoing conversations. You know, whether they're residents here, residents elsewhere, people that have the spirit and the memory of Theodore Roosevelt in mind. It's a broad group, and nationally there's a lot of support for it. So it's real exciting conversations.
And the family of Theodore Roosevelt, have they been in contact with you and the governor and others? Are they excited about this?
Yes, we actually met with Simon Roosevelt at the South Unit, and he was so excited about it. He's been here quite a few times, and his thing is that he wants to see conservation and hunting be brought together. He's concerned about the push for people that think that conservation and hunting can't go hand in hand, and so he'd like to see that as a component. Then Theodore Roosevelt V has been, we've had dinner with him. He's very involved on the board, and he and his father are very interested in the project, and they're so excited about the ethos of TR, of the conservation, the utilization of the public lands, and the recreation components of it all. I mean, they're very much behind this. There's been efforts to try to do this in New York near Sagamore Hill that have failed, and this is where it should be. They know it makes the most sense where it's by the Theodore Roosevelt National Park, named for their great-great-grandfather. I mean, it's the only national park named for an individual. This is the place for it to be.
And the Elkhorn Ranch.
And the Elkhorn Ranch is right in between the units. I mean, it's very exciting.
Well, when would it be shovel-ready, or I should say, when will we know? In another year or two, if it would be shovel-ready to build this library?
Well, there's definitely a goal of having having things in motion by next legislative session. I mean, they don't want to have this be continuing into the next session of if it's going to happen or not. So the fundraising has that goal in mind. So, I mean, it's to have a big year in 2020 for fundraising for this thing and get the plans together, get the board, the library board to be closer to an operational mindset than just a beginning R&D. And, you know, they've been kind of on a research and development mission for years, and now it's time to get beyond R&D to actually commercializing your product. And so now it's, what does the operating board look like? What's the operating plan look like? But first of all, I got to get that $100 million of philanthropy lined up.
Well, let's switch gears. Okay. That was the positive stuff. On a negative note, the wetness and the farms and all of that. I know the governor was busy going around the state. This is a year like none other. What would you like to say to farmers and ranchers across the state of North Dakota right now?
Well, we're here for you. We're praying for you. We hope that all of our efforts are leading to one thing, to be easing your mind, to actually getting dollars back in your pocket as soon as possible and at the highest amounts available within programs. The focus is getting the secretarial declaration in, and 46 of 53 counties that are eligible. I mean, it's just astounding to have this kind of a weather disaster. And it's so concerning. I mean, the friends I have in the legislature, I'll call them and ask them, how are you doing on harvest? And it's like 10% harvested, 15% harvested, and it's November 1st, for goodness sakes. If we're hoping for a really balmy November, that's a pretty scary, you know, state of affairs we have. So we're seeing some crop come off this week, which is great. We hope that it's better than everybody expects. We hope there's something in the head so it's a decent crop. But if it's not, if it's a loss situation, we want to have the indemnification, the insurance claim process, all these things be lined up as well as they can be.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Thank you.
You bet. And then the last thing I was going to say is there's a lot of farm stress going on out there. And there's a lot of NDSU extension service, churches. Others are really getting involved with, we don't want to lose you. We want to help you before you get to that point.
Yep.
You're hearing, what are you hearing on that end?
Yeah, exactly. And that's usually the second part of the message. We actually had Adjutant General Dorman of the North Dakota National Guard coming along, and he stood up in the first meeting. He said, there's been more soldiers that have been lost to suicide than actually fighting in our global war on terror the last 20 years. So we know about this. We are cognizant of this in the National Guard, and the governor's cognizant of this now, and so is Ag Commissioner Goring, and we want to make sure you all know. You need to talk to someone if you're feeling these thoughts of depression, these thoughts of hopelessness, and the North Dakota Ag Extension has been right there on top of it, ready to go with resources. You need to look to people like that. You know, call your providers in town, talk to a friend, talk to someone else that's in the industry, in the business, talk to your family members. Please, please talk it out if you're having these feelings, because we all know this is it's a stressful profession to be an egg producer anyway, and then to have Mother Nature come upon us like this. Just talking to a friend from Fezzeden said they had a 200-year rain event followed by 30 inches of snow. Who's ready for that? No one's ready for that. So we're trying to help with roads and with restrictions that are government red tape on DOT and on hauling requirements and such, you know, easier stuff like that. Just got to communicate that up. What's irritating you? What's something we can help with? You know, I mean, it's just got to be communication's got to be the thing that we've got to work to use to communicate with each other, care for each other, and work through it.